Somebody else who's made it in, I'm pleased to say, is Ed McNeil from Cambridgeshire Police. Morning to you, Ed.
Morning, Julian.
Bicycles, in particular, bike theft, which is a bit of an issue in Cambridge. I guess it kind of goes with the territory, really.
Well, we're a cycling city, and with the number of bikes out and about, the more thefts we have. In fact, it has been a real problem. It's less of a problem now than it was. In 2018, we were regarded as the worst city per head of population for cycle crime in the country, but we're not there now.
Is that simply because we have more cycles per head of population than anywhere else in the country?
That's definitely part of the reason.
Yeah.
But we've also got some fairly prolific offenders out there who are keen at taking a number of bikes every day.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that a little bit, because there has, you know, in, I guess it's, you know, for as long as there's been cycle crime, there's possibly been criticism over police for not doing anything about it. But I guess two questions. Obviously, there's things, and hopefully you'll be able to tell us what we can do as cyclists to protect our bikes. But from the police side of things, what can you do, and more to the point, what are you doing on a daily, weekly basis to make sure that the cycles don't get pinched in the first place?
So the first thing we've done is we set up a partnership group back in late 2020, and that group consists of the City Council, the County Council, universities, hospital, business groups, Neighbourhood Watch, Cam Cycle, Greater Anglia, and obviously the police as well. And we're all committed, we're all really keen to try and do something about cycle crime. And we focus our time and effort on three things, so education, infrastructure and enforcement. So education, this is a campaign led by Cam Cycle, and I'm sure some of you, and you may have seen as well, the Love Your
The Love Your Bike leaflet, yes.
Leaflet, which has got some great advice. They're available in the police station if people want to come and get them. They're available from Cam Cycle. We hand them out at Freshers Week at university inputs. But that's about how you lock your bike properly and registering your bike. So if you're less likely to get your bike stolen. If you register your bike, you're more likely to get it back. And that's really important.
And how do you register a bike? Presumably, if you hunt hard enough, there's some sort of serial number on there, or are there other ways that you can mark it?
So there's a couple of things that are really important. One is the frame number, and you're generally speaking, if you turn your bike upside down underneath the pedals, on the bottom bracket is a frame number. Now, they're not necessarily unique, and that would be great if nationally we can do something to make them unique, and that's a piece of work that's ongoing as well. But get that frame number, get your make and model, and also your bike is your bike. So there'll be little scratches on it, there'll be marks, there'll be something that you've done, there'll be stickers that you've put on it, and you can take pictures of all those, and you can upload that information with the frame number, with your make and model, onto a database which is bikeregister.com, and that's a free database for people to use to register their bike on. You can upload pictures, and if one of my officers or myself are out and about and we find somebody on a bike and we think, well, that's not their bike, we can check that database really quickly. So I can send a text message, and within a few seconds, I will get the owner's details back.
So what would you put on that text? Would you be checking the serial number yourself first?
The frame number.
Okay,
yeah.
That's an interesting one. What about things like, for example, on my keys here, I've got one of these little Apple detectors. There's lots of different versions of this you can get. Is it good plan to maybe hide one of those on the bike? Obviously not too obvious, because I guess the crook would just take the thing off.
Yeah, you can do that. There are companies that will effectively keep track of your bike, put a GPS device on
right.
it. And then if your bike gets stolen, you can contact them and they will try and locate it with their operating in Cambridge. But the other really important thing is a really good lock.
Right.
And the best you can afford to buy. And if you go on to Sold Secure, they're an independent company that test locks and they grade them. And the more money you can spend, the less likely your bike is going to get nicked.
And that's a general rule. Not always with everything a rule of thumb, but with this, it is. It's sort of the more, I guess you're spending a lot of money on a bike, you can probably afford to spend a lot of money on a lock as well.
Yeah, I mean, the average cost of a bike registered on Bike Register in 2022 is £1,300. But you need to be spending a good sum of money on a bike lock, and some of these bike locks are over £100. If you can afford to spend that, that will make a big difference.
I'm trying to remember how much I spent. I think I might have spent about 70 or 80 quid on mine. Did that, yeah.
sound
right?
But it's the grades. If you go onto Sold Secure, they've got different gradings. You've got diamond, gold, silver, bronze. And effectively what that means is it's the amount of time that bike lock will withstand being attacked by an offender. So the higher the lock, the more time it will take for them to break through it. And the fact is, offenders won't want to be spending more than a few minutes trying to attack your lock. If they can't get it, they'll go on to somebody else's
and
bike.
Where are there sort of bicycle theft hotspots in Cambridge? The obvious one I'm thinking to mind is the cycle park near to Cambridge Station, although that, again, that's possibly a bit mean because there's so many cycles there in the first place.
Yeah, there are some hotspots. The big two areas are around the station, and that's in the cycle park and around the station area, and in the city centre as well. And that's because actually that's where most of the bikes go. We get thefts that occur from gardens and residential premises on the outskirts of the city, but they're the two key areas.
I would have thought in a lot of those terraced houses around here have little bike hooks on the front of their houses. And I guess in many ways that's probably pretty safe, because if a thief is trying to chip away at a bike lock, they'll soon be seen by somebody as being unusual.
Yeah, the visibility is important. A good lock is important. Lighting's important. They're all good things to have when you're trying to secure your bike.
So what about the bike thieves then? You obviously mentioned you've been, you know, keeping an eye out on some of them in recent years. Are they one man operations, or is it like a gang of people go up and scoop bikes in the back of a transit van or something?
I think the offending profile looks fairly varied. I think we get some youngsters that are getting involved in crime that will target cycles. We get people that have got substance misuses that will go out and steal bikes in order to fund their habit.
Right.
And then we get some more sort of professional gangs that will come in. Now, I think the biggest amount of offending probably sits in that middle category. And because of that, that's where we try and focus most of our time and effort. Not all of it, but most of it.
Mm. There's those people like Omar, for example, Cambridge bike vigilante, as I think the tabloid might call him, in his Facebook group, where people post pictures of their bike if they are stolen. That sort of thing useful for you?
It can be. The trick we have is to convert the information that goes onto that group into evidence, and a picture of somebody on a bike isn't necessarily evidence in itself. So when we look at prosecuting people, we have to prove beyond all reasonable doubt, and that means we need to prove the ownership of the bike. We need to look at the theft itself and whether we can prove the theft or whether we can prove a handling offence. There are key offences that we'll try and prosecute people for. But it's a good group, and it's great that so many people are taking an active interest in crime prevention.
If a bike is stolen, where does it end up? Is it likely to end up back in circulation in Cambridge, or does the sort of person who steals a bike, or some of them, know somebody who can then sell it on so it, you know, reappears in Oxford or somewhere?
It's both. Cambridge has got a fairly vibrant second-hand bike market, but we also know that bikes are going outside of Cambridge, and they're going into different cities, they're going down into London, they're probably even going abroad as well.
Abroad, that's astounding. So do you know, have you sort of tracked ones back again?
We've got ongoing cases which I can't talk too much about
right,
at the moment.
I understand.
But where the evidence is, certainly they are being taken abroad.
And what happens to bike thieves? If somebody is, might depend on how many they're involved in, I guess, but if somebody is prosecuted and sentenced, what's going to happen to them? I have this feeling it's going to be like, you know, fined £30 and told not to do it again.
It can vary. But where we get prolific offenders, we've had sentences of up to 18 months. And that's fantastic. That gives those prolific offenders opportunity to engage in services in prison to try and reduce their offending behaviour and the reasons for their offending behaviour. But it also gives the public a break from their offending behaviour, and that's also really important. The other bit that we try and do is where we get a prolific offender, we look at a criminal behaviour order. So we'll ask the court to say, look, this individual is out, they're stealing bikes all the time, we want some conditions on them that makes it harder for them to offend. So we'll get conditions where people can't be in possession of a bike without proof of ownership, and then it becomes easier to prosecute people. We don't have to get them for a theft. We can get them just because they've got a bike on in their possession and they can't actually turn around and show where it's come from.
Do they tend to move on to other crimes as well? You mentioned the drugs connection earlier, but you know, somebody who steals a bike is, you know, presumably not going to worry too much about breaking into somebody's house as well.
The more likely shoplifting.
Okay.
And there's definitely a correlation between shoplifting offenders and cycle crime offenders. And as a result of that, we do a lot of work around shoplifting offences as well. Sometimes the evidential burden is easier there to prove offences against people than it is around cycle crime.
And with Christmas coming up, is there likely to be more or less cycle crime than there is the rest of the year?
Well, cycle crime is kind of seasonal. And in fact, it's linked to how many people are using bikes out and about. So the more people use bikes, the more crime we get. So actually, our peak period is over the summer and autumn. And then it peters off as it gets colder and fewer people are cycling.
Interesting. And I guess somewhere like CAMS Cops, your email alert service, is possibly a good place to keep an eye out on, well, both bike theft, but perhaps some of the security operations that you run from time to time to help people take care of the bikes, as you described earlier on.
Yeah, absolutely. CAMS Cops, Neighbourhood Watch. We've got a vibrant Neighbourhood Watch set up in the city, and I'd really urge people to look into that. And also have a look on the CAMS Cycle website, and there's some really good advice on there about locking your bike, registering your bike, and what to do if your bike gets stolen, how to report it, and what information to give the police to aid our investigation.
Okay, well, Ed, thank you very much for coming in this morning. I guess I have to wish you a Merry Christmas at this stage, but we'll see you and Paul Rogerson in the new year, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Julian, and Merry Christmas to you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.